on, I'm going to have staff to initiate a apartment sweeps program. Sandy Springs had done it, something I've noodled around with some staff, so just to initiate some ideas on that side. Is there anything else that we missed?
Is that your code enforcement issues of apartment sweeps?
Okay. Yes.
Yeah, and Mr. Mayor, what this item is, what I found from our meetings from an organizational standpoint is that it's been kind of haphazard throughout the meeting, kind of throwing them out
exactly.
Or remembering. So what we're trying to do is each work session, we'll establish an item on the agenda for initiation of text amendments, so we just have a logical place where everyone can remember these are the ones that we want to put forward.
Okay.
That's pretty simple.
Yes, Robert. I was at the Planning Commission meeting this month, and they were concerned about the way that we were handling the initiation of text amendments. And in fact, they basically refused to vote on an item that was before them because they didn't feel like it had been brought to them in the proper form. So let me at least tell you the problem that they saw. And in fact, we have members of the Planning Commission who are here who might could speak to it too. Their concern was that we sent something to staff, you know, based on a conversation during a meeting. Mm-hmm. And staff prepared a memo and presented it to the community council who discussed it. And then they took the memo and added the community council discussion and put it before the Planning Commission for the Planning Commission to discuss. But the Planning Commission didn't have any ordinance changes to vote on. It was just here, we were requested to look into this. Here's some research we've done. Give us some direction. And their feeling was that that's not what we do. What we do is vote on potential changes to ordinances. And you haven't given us a potential change. You've said, here's something we were asked to look into. And so they refused. I mean, they basically said, we got nothing to vote on here. And I'm just wondering whether we want to change what we do. Or change what we... Well, and Bill, I mean, do we want to call Bill?
Yeah, please. Yeah, Bill, come on up.
I think we need to...
I didn't speak very much to the particular issue that night, and you might imagine that Planning Commissioner Lunston was the most vocal on the particular issue.
He's not watching, so we got to
be careful. The basic thing that Bob was banging the drum on that night was the fact that several of us have been told that we've got this very detailed, several 20-30 page thing to go through, which the community council did go through it line by line, and I left that particular meeting after 3 hours. And Bob didn't think it was worthwhile for the Planning Commission to go through it line by line because rumor had it that only the poll matter part of it was going to get passed and the rest of it was going to get kicked back to the committee. Personally, I was okay with the rest of it getting kicked back to the committee because it's one of those things I want to look at very slowly and carefully. And every time I look at it, I find something else that needs to be dealt with.
And actually, that wasn't the issue, I think. And you may actually not have been there for this. You got there just a little bit late. The first item on the agenda was to look at personal care homes in residential neighborhoods. And it was just brought up as we were asked to look into personal care homes in residential neighborhoods. Here's what the discussion was at Community Council. Here's a copy of the current ordinance. And there wasn't any, there were no wording changes. Howard, I mean, do you want to talk about, again, I don't know that we have a problem, but I thought since this somebody put this on here, I thought this was actually what we were supposed to talk about. This.
To a large extent, he's correct, the idea. And I don't want to speak too much about it because it is going to come before you. At your next meeting, but the idea was that we needed to open a discussion about whether or not a certain policy that we have in the city is correct, and we identified the policy that we wanted to discuss, and first it went forward to community council with no recommendation from staff, because that's really the role, as staff understand it, that the community council has. Discuss, introduce an idea, they take it forward to the community, anybody in the community that's interested can then come to the public hearing at the Planning Commission and discuss it further. At the Planning Commission meeting, staff's recommendation was to keep the situation as it is, keep the status quo, make no changes. So the relevant portions of the text were presented to the Planning Commission. the recommendation from staff was to make no changes. But specifically, there was not any ordinance text for them to evaluate. They had a copy that I made from relevant text in the zoning ordinance presented in front of them, but it was more, the discussion centers around narrative. It's not clinical. And I found that I'm able to elicit better input from our citizen boards when you can discuss something in context. So whenever I bring an item forward for somebody to discuss that I can elicit that response from them, I'll then codify into an ordinance that comes to this board. Because ultimately you have thumb up or thumb down or conditional approval power. It's the other boards that make their recommendations. And when something is presented very binary, it's either guess this or know that. Occasionally you'll miss the gray area, so that's how I generally framed a lot of the information that I've taken forward in the City of Dunwoody that's gone to Community Council and the Planning Commission. For whatever reason, and I'm not even going to speculate as to why the reason, but for some reason in the month of November, this has now become a problem to one or more of the commissioners, and they seek a change in staff policy where we bring the binary to them and they make a very narrow recommendation based upon what's presented to them.
Yeah, their concern was that... I'm sorry. Ron, do you want to
make a legal comment on that? Well, I would say, generally, my view is, and I talked a little bit about Howard, is that we should have an ordinance change by the time we get to an official public hearing. In this one particular instance, there was no ordinance change recommended, so there was no language to present at the public hearing. So what I would say is that a public hearing, staff should have an actual ordinance drafted, otherwise, because the devil's always in the detail, the public should have a comment to actually hear the proposed changes. That is what I would personally recommend.
And Paul Player's thought was that having the ordinance drafted after the Planning Commission public hearing was actually illegal. That the ordinance hadn't then gone through the proper process. So you couldn't get Planning Commission input and then draft an ordinance for presentation to us because they needed to have presented the ordinance language and had a hearing on it. So they basically threw up on the
process. But I would say that actually was done in this case because the ordinance change was annulled. With no change.
There's no change. Well, right. But again, I don't want to replay the whole meeting, but their point was that somebody had requested that we evaluate a change, so that change should have been shown as a red line. And staff could have said, we've been asked to look at making a change, and we recommend that you not make this change. But that at least there needed to be something for them to vote up or down on.
Okay.
You know, or to wordsmith, right? Even if staff is saying, we don't think this is a good idea, there should have been something that they could have voted up or down. So anyway, I probably spent more time on it than we need to at this hour. But their feeling was they weren't going to vote on anything that didn't come to an ordinance format going forward.
Does that make sense, Howard? I mean, as far as redlining whatever bubbled from Community Council, what you're saying, Robert, so at least staff recommendation is don't touch it.
I understand where they're coming from. I do. I think that the great is the enemy of the good in this instance, and a lot of times I can elicit a lot more useful and productive conversations, sometimes animated conversations, when you can allow an environment that invites as many comments as possible. Mm-hmm. But all the options out there, as long as we don't, as staff, introduce anything new to the process between the first public hearing and the second public hearing, I don't believe there's any dereliction of responsibility to the people who done. I think all the relevant information is either placed in the narrative of the memo or later the ordinance that you look at. And between the allowance of additional public hearing and two readings, giving the opportunity for all the citizen input, I think it's still responsible. But it's not my call. It's their call. Whatever they choose is how we'll proceed. I don't know necessarily that this specifically is a testament, that this is more of just being department policy, but.
All right. Anybody have any other pieces on that?
You'll probably look at the handout that came out a little bit earlier. This is some of the three-page handout, the sign, the public hearing sign.
Yeah.
Following the text amendment for the public notice sign, where we were required to have a sign of no less than 12 square feet and no less than 3-inch lettering, we found that to have the state-mandated text placed on the sign at 3 inches, as well as make it visually palatable so people could get more information if they chose to, the signs worked out to be 60 inches wide and 84 inches tall.
So you right on a 12-story building. It's probably too big.
Actually,
probably not allowed to sign that big on a 12-story building.
For an actual scale, it's roughly the size of a front door. Well, a little bit bigger. A big front door.
Right. Okay.
So that's what your signs are going to look like.
Yeah,
we're adjusting that. We're gonna adjust that by in a year.
For a text amendment?
Okay. Yes, right. So one of the, I know we wanted to put one sign one time during the meeting in which we asked for text amendments. If this is it, then we want to start a text amendment to change that.
Exactly. Where we go back down to the 12 square foot.
Right, we need to find lettering that'll fit on a 12-foot scope.
We want to initiate a text amendment for staff to recommend lettering that'll fit on a 12 square foot sign. Mm-hmm.
Dan.
Yes, I understand.
You're sleeping at the wheel when we passed through that by.
Danny,
so a little bit off course, but it certainly pertains to community development and our inspection process. I don't know if any of you have heard about the Chinese sheetrock situation, which exists down in New Orleans, on the Gulf Coast. My nephew, 2 years ago, bought a house. He paid $500,000 for it, took a mortgage on it. And his dishwasher started going out, his air conditioning started going out, his wrought iron railing up his steps started to corrode. And it turns out he's got Chinese sheetrock in his house. And I mention it only because I think as a part of our inspection process, we should ensure that there's no Chinese sheetrock being installed in any of our construction projects in the city of Dunwoody. He's going to end up losing his house, period, instead of having a mortgage on it. It's a terrible situation, and nothing that he did was wrong. And he has no one to go to, because the Chinese government is really at the end of this thing, and nobody's going to send it to the Chinese government when we're trying to get money for our bonds and our treasury bills. And anyway, I just want to make you aware of that, make sure that the inspectors are aware of that, to make sure that there's no Chinese sheetrock installed in the city of Dunwoody, period. But
that's what I used to do as a kid. I used to be a sheetrocker.
Not Chinese, but this no, stuff's got problems.
UGA.
I thought you were a farmer.
I was one of those too.
I don't think I've ever met a sheetrock farmer before.
Before we go to public comment, can I just...
The intersection of Ashford, Dunwoody, and Mount Vernon.
Yes.
Late this afternoon, and I was trying to get it up here, and I was going to lead it right off, but as I told, I think Ken, maybe I got to you, Robert, late, I didn't keep you in, I apologize for not keeping you in the loop there. They had their landscaper out, and they are going to put in, it were going to be a lineal cypress, but they get too wide, and now they're going to be, he showed me a picture of them and everything, and they're going to put those around the pole, and they get to approximately, he said it, I'm pulling these out of the top of my head, about 10 to 12 to 14 feet high, and they'll be around the pole. We're still working on painting the pole. That is still in the works, and whether, you know, we haven't got approval, but you know where we're at. Mm-hmm. I told you where we're at on that. So that's going as high as we can go on the pole right now as far as seeing if we can get approval to paint the pole also.
Right.
But we are, the evergreen should be going in next week.
Who's the paint? Can we check with our arborist?
I don't even know how to spell arborist. So
I check two of those trees in my front yard, and they get a bit taller than that, but they do not grow very wide.
Yeah.
So who's the paint for that?
We are not, as far as I know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're not.
PCID is
very good.
Go ahead, nice work. Painting, who's painting for that?
Good.
Well, maybe we'll hide that thing.
She missed the last meeting, so. Yeah,
she's going to shimmy up the pole. It's kind of slide down, pain as she comes.
Okay, guys, we're.